big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pounder, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited because I have a first-time interviewee. His name is Daniel Gregory, and he is a media film guy who actually, if you pay attention to the very beginning of our interview, he's going to tell you a fun fact about his early life, and there's a cool fun fact there that is actually really cool, and it's fun, and it's a fact. And so you check on this, but he's got a background in video work, and he works as a pastor at Victory Church in Florida, and he does some phenomenal work. I've got some resources I'm going to be sharing with you in the show notes, but he's got some awesome ideas on how to go beyond mediocre in our media. You know, sometimes we do media stuff and we produce content, but sometimes we settle for average or okay. Well, he shares with us how we can go beyond that, how we can take a step forward in that, and he's got some great insights. So I'm really excited about Daniel being on the podcast today. So without any further ado, let's get an interview right now with Daniel Gregory. All right, with me right now is Daniel Gregory. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Okay, so we just literally like met each other fairly recently from a mutual friend of ours, Adam McLaughlin. So I'm really glad that he connected us.
Yeah, he's a terrible guy, but at least he did one thing right.
That's awesome. Okay, Daniel, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you located and what is it that you do?
Okay, so I am located in Lehigh Acres, Florida. It's about 20 minutes away from Fort Myers, which is where Adam is involved in a ministry up there. I'm a pastor at a church called Victory, and I have a background in videography, so I've done a lot of video work over the years. And so our church has a very strong focus on creating quality media. So we create our own video productions. We create sermon series, bumpers, trailers, packaging, all that sort of thing. We've done short films here as well. We've had them entered in film festivals locally. Yeah. And so for us, we're kind of a younger church. The primary demographics in our church are like 20s and 30s. And so we found that video is a very effective way of connecting with people and using that as like a platform for ministry and evangelism.
Wow, that's really awesome. And I agree with you completely, especially with that demographic. Video is so important right now, and awesome that you guys are experimenting and doing so much with that kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay, so give me your background, though, because you were telling me a little bit about your background in videography. So give me your background there.
Sure. So I grew up – I was actually raised over in the nation of Fiji. My family was missionaries over there for about 10 years. So a lot of my formative years were spent over there. I was there from about the time that I was about 9 years old to 19. And then while I was over there, there's literally nothing to do on the island. It's pretty terrible. Like, you know, you go and like make action figures out of sugarcane sticks, you know, it's bad. And so I was given a camera. It was a really, really awful, terrible, old camera that somebody probably found in like a Goodwill somewhere. But I was given this camera and, at the time I was in charge of doing dramas at my church. It was about 16 years old. And so I was doing dramas, and I had this idea for a drama, and it just wouldn't be practical to do it on a stage. So we were like, hey, why don't we film? And we filmed it. It was a 5-minute video, and just the response from the church was incredible. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I kind of got some attention, and I started getting involved in music videos in Fiji. I made Fiji's first music video. It was actually a Christian song. I was on the TV over there, and got some exposure through that. And then as a result of that, I ended up making Fiji's first movie. It was about a 45-minute film. And it was, you know, in the newspaper and kind of a little bit of a big deal. And so they were trying to get it put in the theaters over there, but the runtime wasn't long enough. So we're working on adding some time to it to bring it up to like an hour and 20 minutes so that they could put it in the theaters. And my family ended up moving back to the States in that time. So we weren't able to complete it. So Never got in the theaters, but we did have screenings for it, and it made its way around the island pretty well.
Dude, that is awesome. I mean, again, and I'm sorry I was laughing at the fact that there was nothing to do in Fiji except for make action figures or whatnot. It just sounded funny, but I guess in your context, that would have been just terrible to have.
It's pretty awful. But, you know, I got my first full-time job when I was 14, so I kept myself pretty busy. But you could go crazy pretty easily over there.
Dude, that's awesome. That's a great upbringing. Okay, so you're really in on media. You're fully ingrained in it. Your church is doing it. You've been working on it for a long time. Yeah. Even though you probably only looked like you're 21 years old, you've been working at it for a while.
I grew the beard out and everything to try and fool people.
But we were talking, and this is what I'm really excited about talking about today, and getting your insights on it, is this, that you were saying how you're passionate about the standards of Christian media, and that you know, sometimes we settle for mediocrity. What do you mean with that?
I think that Christians absolutely settle for mediocrity. That's kind of like a catchphrase that I have. And we do it with everything, whether it's music. And I don't really want to get too far off in the sticks in music, but you listen to Christian radio and everything sounds like a cookie cutter carbon copy of the thing that came before it. I have a brother that's in a Christian band, and they actually get around pretty well, but they're always confronted with that. Like, no, you have to fit into this box. You know, you have to, you know, paint by numbers. Don't color outside the lines. Don't try and break the mold. And I think the same thing is true across all of Christian media. But my focus is particularly on film. And when you watch Christian films, they kind of feel like they came out of the same squirt gun, as it were, you know, like just like a Hallmark movie. You know, they have that kind of vibe. Everybody, every family in it is like, Leave It to Beaver. There's always this really maniacal atheist that's trying to take them down because he was hurt by a church at some point in his upbringing, you know. And so he goes to great lengths to punish them. And then at the end of the movie, he has some kind of a revelation of God's, you know, mercy or whatever. And the dialogue is very unrealistic you know, I think that it just feels disingenuous when you watch it. It's like, there's nobody out there that's like this. There's nobody that talks like this, nobody that behaves like this. I would like to see Christian, like the phrase is that, you know, life imitates art, you know, I think that it's time for, you know, the art to begin to resemble life at some point. And for movies to kind of start to look like people that are in the real world, in Christian content to deal with things that people are actually dealing with, you know, and I'd like to see that. So you see a lot of movies out there that are, you know, like pretty far-fetched premises, like God's Not Dead and things like that, where, not to knock that as a specific movie, but, you know, they're talking about like people putting God on trial. Like, when does that happen? You know? So I'd like to see, you know, some stories that are like grounded in reality. You know, some dialogue that sounds like actual people wrote it, and it's not, you know, a conversation between two people from the 40s.
And that's my question, I think, is like, how do you think, like, again, I don't think anybody's intention is to do mediocrity and to do it poorly, but where do you think the missteps come along that, again, we keep on producing the same type of song over and over again? I think Bono said recently, it needs to be more real. Like, Christian music needs to be more real. How can we do that? What do you see, like, there's some missteps that we're taking?
Yeah, first of all, I think that people don't understand the Christian market. I think that a lot of people at the executive level, it's kind of like in Hollywood. If somebody makes a terrible movie, but the movie makes a lot of money, you'll see a lot of copycat movies. You see a lot of clones of that. And I think that the same thing is true with Christian media. It's what we have for Christian media just keeps on getting reproduced. And, you know, Casting Crowns will write a song that works for them and is their style, but the record executives think that every song has to now sound like that. I think the same thing happens in Christian movies. And you even look at it because Hollywood is starting to notice that there is a market for Christian films. I mean, you look at The Passion of the Christ, had a budget of, I think it was $30 million, and it made over $600 million at the box office. So Hollywood starts trying to cash in on that, but they don't understand the Christian market. So they start making movies like Noah or Exodus, Gods and Kings, which are extremely unbiblical in their approach to storytelling. Now, the quality is higher, but the story they don't understand the demographic that they're going for. Christians don't want to see movies that don't reflect scripture, you know. And so I think the large part of it is they don't understand the audience. And they're making things that they think the audience wants, or that they're telling the audience that they want, instead of trying to make something genuine that reflects where people are at.
That's really good. I like that idea, or I like that thought. So, okay, so if you're in a church and you're doing a ministry, mm-hmm. and you're trying to produce content, and you're trying to produce stuff that people are looking for, where do you feel like that we can get better, and what are some things that we could do to make sure that our quality and our standards are not mediocre and just like half-butting it? I wanted to say half-ass, but actually I just did. So, you know.
Edit that out.
Yeah. But how can we do better as a church? Again, because we don't have the production budget of, you know, even some of these mediocre Christian movies or media type things. How can churches do better here?
Yeah, I don't think budget is a problem. A lot of people, I think they get hung up on, I have to have the right equipment, I have to have, you know, mm-hmm. cinema level gear and stuff. I don't think so. I think you have to have a story, and you have to know how to tell that story well. Mm-hmm. And I've seen incredible movies that were made with almost no budget whatsoever. I think it was, what was that, Paranormal Activity, the first one that they made, I think was $7,000 budget or something ridiculous.
Oh my, are you kidding?
Yeah. And I mean, that's not a Christian movie, but it shows what can be done with somebody that has a vision. And honestly, like right now, like when I first started, man, the very first camera I used for my movie was a Canon XL1S. And at the time, I think it was around $8,000, and it wasn't cinema level at all. But it was somewhat of a professional, like a broadcast quality camera. It was very difficult to get your hands on. But now, man, I mean, you can pick up stuff on, you know, Craigslist or whatever and make a movie off of it. Like DSLRs right now, I've seen feature length films that were made on cameras that people take on vacation. There's a movie from the director Steven Soderbergh. He made an entire movie on an iPhone. It's coming out in the theaters, you know. So I think that it's always nice to have nicer equipment and a higher budget. But the most important thing is the story and telling the story well. And so what I would love to see is more people out there that have something to say actually say it, and not be so concerned about fitting within that the lines of what's expected of you when you make Christian content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. I love that. So it goes back to the ultimate storytelling that you go and the angles that you do. So if you were to create something, do you guys do What's Your Story videos like that, like interview people and share their stories at your church?
Yeah, we do. For us, one of the things that has been really cool is we do some really outside the box like sermon series at my church.
Okay.
And so we try to create media that packages it that kind of speaks to people where they're at. And we've got a lot of churches will just go on our church's YouTube channel. They'll see our sermon series content, and you know, they've contacted us, and we open that up for any church to use. Anything that we've created, people are able to use for free. We kind of just use that as a ministry. But just we get emails probably on a weekly basis of churches that want to use that content within their church as well. So I think that's probably a good place to start, I guess.
Yeah. Can you share that link with me, or can you send it to me a little bit later?
Sure.
Yeah, because that would be awesome to share with people, because I think, again, what you said earlier, going back to that, is that we get in a rut and we're like, what do we do? How do we do it? And we just kind of mimic someone else's stuff and don't tailor it to the actual people in our community. And so we think that, oh, we should share this because this church down in Florida or this church in Oklahoma did that, and that was very good. But I think the concept is good to do something very similar, but then you have to tailor it to your community to really get more bang for the buck.
Right. Well, depending on what your goal is with it. So when we did a short film a couple of years ago, and we entered it into a local film festival, it won second place, but it was about spiritual warfare. So that's not really tailored to our community very much at all. but the cool thing was it became an evangelistic opportunity, because now we're there at the film festival. We do a screening, and then they bring up the, you know, myself and the cast, and we're able to talk about, you know, our faith and stuff. And it's a film festival that was a secular film festival. And we were the only faith-based film that was entered there. And people were really just impressed that something like that could come out of our community. Mm-hmm. And it was a great opportunity for, you know, telling people about our faith and about God that we wouldn't have had we not created an outside-the-box evangelistic tool, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. I really like that a lot. So what kind of insights or tips would you give church media guys and girls to say, hey, listen, as you guys are going about and attacking a sermon series, What kind of insights and thoughts would you share with them to say how to go beyond just being mediocre and doing it really well and having good results?
Being open to criticism. I think a lot of times we do something and we pour our heart into it. You know, whether you're writing a sermon or you're doing a piece of art or a video or whatever, and you just want people to like it so bad. And I think that doesn't do anything for you when people tell you what you did well. I always enjoy hearing like what I don't do well. And I remember one of the most important things in my life was the first movie that I made in Fiji. I had this scene in it that I kind of hand animated the special effect. And I was so proud of it. It took me hours upon hours to do. And I was excited. And I showed it to a friend of mine. And he goes, "That looks fake." I'm like, "Yeah, but it took me so long to make it. And I'm so proud of it. And I did it by myself. I had no help." He's like, "It doesn't change the fact that it looks terrible. That shouldn't be in the movie." And I realized that what he said had value to it. And so I took it out and it made the movie better as a result of it. And so I think that, you know, when you create this stuff, pass it by somebody else, somebody whose judgment that you trust, and say, "Listen, I want you to be honest with me. I want this to be compelling. I want it to be something that's relevant, that's going to make a difference." And you know, while I appreciate positivity, what I really need is something that's constructive and what I can change or alter or tweak to make myself better. I need to refine my process. And the refining process is an uncomfortable process, but it's a necessary process.
Yeah, that is so true. I agree completely with you. Okay, let me do some quick hits for you. Get your your insights and opinions on this. And these are just your recommendations. I'm not going to hold you to these. They have to be the best. But just off the top of your head, what comes to mind? Hey, best camera to take photos with during for church stuff.
I've always been a fan of Canon, but right now I'm leaning towards Sony because Sony does photo and video very well. So like the A7 R2, the A7 S2, any of those lines, they do photography and video incredibly well. So if you bought one for your church, you're looking at $1,500, maybe $2,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. But you're able to make great videos and take great pictures for social media, YouTube, whatever, on one device. It's fantastic.
Okay, that's good. So my next question was going to be video camera, but I mean, you basically just answered it there. So, video editing software. What do you do for video editing that you love?
So I'm an Adobe guy. I've used every platform. I've used Final Cut. I've used Sony Vegas over the years, but I always come back to Adobe. And I think for churches, they've moved to a subscription model, which makes it a little bit easier to metabolize because you're paying. I think you can get on the student license, I think it's $19 a month, and you get a video editing program, photo editing program, special effects suite with Adobe Premiere, Adobe After Effects, Adobe Photoshop, all of that, and you're paying a pretty reasonable price on a monthly basis. So Premiere is where I go, and I do all my work in Premiere.
Okay, now I'm going to get into a personal aspect here. I have Adobe on all my computer. Actually got it, and I was like, "Yes, this is awesome." But I am completely clueless, and I do not use any of the Adobe stuff hardly at all.
Yeah.
If I want to learn how to do Adobe, what would you recommend on how I would be able to do that? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people like me who has it and want to use it, but just don't know how.
Yeah. So I didn't have anybody train me in Adobe when I started using it. I started using Adobe for the first time probably about 6 years ago. And I moved over from Sony Vegas, and I was just self-taught, and I just sat and plugged away at it. And I kept on doing some test projects and test films. Trial and error really worked for me. And then I discovered this fabulous thing called YouTube that has tutorial videos. So I started checking that out. And eventually I was able to network with some people that knew a little bit more than me that could help me along. But I would say the same with anything. If you don't know how to do it, try and find some training resources. I think YouTube is fantastic. There's a lot of channels that you can go to that'll equip you. Even Adobe on their website, they have tutorial videos as well. If you can find somebody that knows it, that can teach you the ropes, that's great. But for me, man, it was just trial and error. It was getting in there and figuring things out. And to be perfectly honest, I've sat down with people that are pros, and they look at how I do my workflow, and they're like, "That's weird. Why do you do it that way?" I'm like, "Cause it's all I know." But the end result is great. And so when they look at the end result, they're like, "I don't know how you did that by doing it that way. I would have done it this way." But I'm like, you know what? We arrive at the same place. So
yeah. Dude, that's awesome. I love YouTube. I've actually fixed my laundry machine a few times by just looking up YouTube tutorials and everything. Okay, last question. This goes to YouTube. Highly recommend or not recommend? Do you guys upload your videos to your church videos to YouTube, Vimeo? What are the platforms you're going to be uploading your videos to?
Well, I want to upload. I know a lot of churches that upload to Vimeo because it's a little bit better quality. A couple of other reasons, you have more control, I think. But I want to upload my content where people are. And right now, you have about I think it's like over 5 billion videos are watched on YouTube every day.
Yeah.
Every month, I think it's 8 out of 10 18 to 50-year-olds watch YouTube videos. The total number of YouTube videos watched each month are like somewhere over 3 billion. So that's really where a lot of people are. So we tend to archive all of our content on YouTube, but we also put it on Facebook as well.
Okay.
Facebook's the number one social media site in the world. So we kind of diversify. We put it in a couple places. But really, I want to put my content wherever people are. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more work on the back end, but it gives us an increased exposure, and it gives us consistency across all of our platforms as well. So I really just like being prolific with my social media. But if I had to pick, I'd say the titans for video content are YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah, I agree completely with you. I love YouTube. I upload videos there. I don't utilize it as much as I feel like I should, but YouTube is definitely where I want to be placing my videos. And you're exactly right on Facebook, too. It's the biggest social media network out there. You got to be posting your videos there as well. So, right. Dude, this has been fantastic, and you're awesome. I definitely got to hit you up some more on this.
Yeah, man.
But as we wrap up, I want people to connect with you. So if they've got questions, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Do you have social media networks? Do you have a blog or anything?
You know what, man? I need all of those things. But I'm in a really busy season of my life. I'm working on a book. It's not done yet. There's a million things I want to get finished, but you know, where you can connect with me though is honestly, I'll just probably direct people to our church's YouTube. It's Victory of Lehigh. If you search that, all one word, you'll be able to find it. There's a playlist on there called Sermon Series Trailers. You can go on there if you find anything you want, download it. You want to do a sermon series, you need any of the graphics or the packaging, just message me and I'll provide that for you. If you want to contact me, my email address is pastordaniel@victoryoflehigh.com. I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram. I'm on all those places. So you can find me. My name is Daniel Gregory, and just seek me out. But I don't have a blog or a website yet, man. One day, though.
Yeah, one day. No, I know. There's only so much you can do, you know, honestly. Yeah. So,
dude, I procrastinate like you wouldn't believe.
Yes, I can understand how that is, too. I procrastinated on my taxes this year, so now.
Oh, no. I'm going to jail.
No. So. All right, Daniel. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right, so there you have it, my interview with Daniel Gregory. It was awesome having him on, and I think, you know, I've had a lot of different people on before, but I've never had a guy who's actually produced a film before, and that was the first of something. And so that was really kind of cool about his early life and what he does now and how he's using media and video to reach people. I love, again, video is so important these days. If you're not doing video in some context, you have to start exploring how you can do it. And what I loved about what he said is, don't be mediocre, don't be cheesy with the content we produce, but we don't need a big budget to be able to produce that kind of content either. You don't need X, Y, and Z to do it. You can produce something with something as simple as your iPhone or your smartphone. I prefer iPhone, obviously. But you can produce something so simple and with a limited budget. If people can produce movies with $7,000, just imagine what you can do with just a few hundred dollars on a 3-minute video or a 30-second video. You don't need all this production equipment to produce quality content. So really think through, what is it that you're producing? How is it? Are you getting feedback? Like what he talked about, being criticized or getting that constructive criticism feedback. Are you getting that, and what can you be doing to be taking your media stuff to that next level? It doesn't have to involve lots of money and the high-end cameras. You can use anything and still produce quality content. So what are you doing? I would love to hear your thoughts on this. So hit me up on Twitter @TAPounder. Share your thoughts on how you're taking your media beyond mediocre into really good stuff. I'd love to hear that. All right, heroes, thanks so much for joining me today. That wraps it up for us. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe to it. I've got some great podcasts coming up or some interviews coming up in the future, so you definitely want to hit that up. Or go to ymsidekick.com. You can subscribe to it there. Or you can also check out the blog and the vlogs and my Twitter ebook.
as well. So definitely go to YMSidekick.com. All right, heroes, I hope you have a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.